Welcome to the Bruce Siski Show. Interact with the show on social media. Tell us what you think and learn about upcoming guests. Follow Bruce Siski Show on Twitter.
That's my bad. I was sending a tweet.
Visit KDAL610.com to stream the show or catch it on the 610 KDAL mobile app. Free from iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your apps.
And the truth shall set you free.
Thanks for listening to the Bruce Siski Show on 610 and FM 103.9 KDAL.
10:11. It's a Tuesday morning, 20th day of September 2022. Bruce Siski Show here on KDAL. Nice to have you along today. We'll be talking Bulldog football this hour, coming up in about 25 minutes or so. We'll check in with the Bulldogs defensive coordinator, Trey Dill, and look ahead, look back a little bit at Upper Iowa and talk about the season through three games, and then look ahead to a very tough Sioux Falls team on the road this weekend here on KDAL. Saturday, Jeff Papas will have the call. He joins us now. Good morning, sir.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm good. You're out of the fog, I see. That's good.
I'm out of the fog, and I'm in the doctor's office this morning. So,
oh, that's fun.
Yeah, you know, one of those things. So, yeah, but we're out of the fog, and that's what matters the most, I guess.
Hey, was that worse than the Upper Iowa game a few years ago in the fog? What, do you remember that? You called that game, too. I think you're the only one that was there for both games. One of the few, I should say.
Well, you couldn't prove it, you know, that anybody else was there. I think the three worst games that I've done in terms of being able to see what I'm doing were those two games and then the Bemidji game on the road 2 years ago in the snowstorm.
Oh, my gosh, that snowstorm. That's right.
But that game was fun to call. That was a super fun game to call. But, you know, this by virtue of not being able to see what's going on in front of you, that's kind of frustrating because you want to be accurate and you want to tell people what's going on. And sometimes I just couldn't see it. And that's, you know, that's frustrating, but hey, they won. That's what matters the most.
Yeah, and we had Chase Vogler in here this morning, and he said it was so bad that he had to move down. He usually calls the game from upstairs near where you sit, and he had to move down to the sideline because he simply could not see what was going on. It was so bad. He said at one point Logan Gretz did an interception in the second quarter, and he's calling a play because he had no idea the other team had the football.
I didn't see it either.
Yeah,
I had no idea that there was, because you just throw the ball towards the far sideline and it would just vanish.
Absolutely crazy.
Mm-hmm. But that's Duluth in September for you. Sometimes you get stuff like that, and you know the fog was everywhere. It was as far south as Barnum when I drove back after the game.
Yeah, it was bad at my house. I know that too, and that was part of why I decided not to head back to the stadium. I read the forecast discussion at the time about severe thunderstorms. I'm like, well, between the potential weather delay, which I later found, as luck would have it, was not going to be necessary, and the fog, I get to see it hanging. I'm like, I'm just going to go ahead and stay home tonight.
Mm-hmm. No, it's just another story for the, you know, the war chest, one for the book.
Right? Exactly. So, you know, defense, it was the order of the night. 25 yards on the ground, they held them to 6 points, and I don't care who you're playing. You hold somebody to 25 yards rushing and 6 points, you're doing a few things right defensively. We saw that really, you know, the second half against Southwest, we saw the adjustments that they made to slow down that running game a little bit. They did a great job, I thought, defensively against Mankato. They couldn't get the job done offensively or on special teams. And then Saturday, the defense played well again.
Might be a pretty hard team to run against. I mean, they held Mankato to 90 yards out of 40 attempts.
Pretty good.
That is real good. And Upper Iowa came in averaging 1.3 yards a carry and did not make their average, 25 carries for 25 yards.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, their longest rush from scrimmage was 17 yards. I mean, it's the team that's trying to build. I mean, all season was 17 yards. And they're trying to build something there. And, you know, they got a couple of tools, but not nearly enough to hang with a team like UMD. So, you know, they did what they should have done, and that's, I think, the important thing is that when you get those games that are at home, the games that are winnable against the teams that you should beat, to just take care of your business, and they did.
Talking to Jeff Papas, Bulldog football back here on KDAL Saturday from Sioux Falls at 1 o'clock. We'll talk about that game here in just a little bit. When we look at this defense, Jeff, and we haven't talked a ton about it, but I remember talking to Kurt Wiese back in August, and he wasn't, I'm not going to say he was concerned, but there was certainly a lack of experience. They got some older guys, but guys that haven't played a ton up front. How good has that defensive front been? Because we know in this defense, the way that they run things, that's a big key.
It is a big key. I mean, they've got some new faces up front. They play, you know, when they play a down three and four linebackers, then you know, the experience of the linebackers is important. The nose group, the defensive line, has been good. We're starting to see a little bit better pass rush from that group. People like Drew Hennessy that have come up and really filled a role in the linebacking core. I thought he was outstanding against Mankato, and he was real good against Upper Iowa. But I think the front seven is very, very important.
And you know, the pass rush, they're turning over guys there. And, you know, again, lack of experience, but you mentioned Drew Hennessy. He's certainly been a big part of it. And, you know, if the guys up front are occupying blockers, it certainly makes life a lot easier for those guys, the edge guys trying to get to the quarterback.
It does, and they have been getting better at it. They didn't get home at all against Southwest, but you know, they did better against Mankato, still better against Upper. It's an evolutionary process, and I think you know, we'll see them get better as the season progresses.
From your seat, what's the value of those middle guys, Brad Dottie and Cole Refsnyder, a couple of captains on that defense?
Irreplaceable. I mean, you know, Brad Dottie has earned everything that he's gotten. He has a great nose for the football. Cole Refsnyder, of course, has done that as well. But, you know, you got to have four. And, you know, and Max Strand has started to step up nicely in that group. And as I mentioned, Drew Hennessy. So they've really been good.
Tim Bokornowski in the back end, Marcus Glodowski. Again, experienced guys. We know what they're capable of, and they've had strong starts to their seasons, too.
Let's not forget Rayshon Brumfield at the
right
corner. There's another player that's just come in, just learning, and he's done well for himself. So, and Davia Bohr's got both the interceptions on the season. So, you know, it's a good group, and it's going to get better.
You know, the offense, obviously, you know, Garrett Olsen missing again. They didn't have Armani Carmichael. Byron Bynum didn't play much, if at all, in the second half on Saturday. They leaned real heavy on the run game. And talking to Chase this morning, you know, he wants to run the football. He likes this offensive line, the way that they run block. He's got a good stable of running backs. You got Zach Olgile back there. You've got, you know, kind of that three-headed monster quarterback, and you've got a guy in Walt Jasper that can run a little bit. What do you think of what they're putting together on offense?
I love what they're putting together on offense. They had seven players that had carries for 10 or more yards against Upper Iowa, and that's just outstanding. People that that hadn't seen a lot of playing time were able to play against Upper Iowa, and they were able to, you know, keep fresh legs in, keep people healthy. And I like what they're building. This is one of the better UMD running teams that we've seen in some time, because they can pick an opening basically anywhere on the line of scrimmage, and they can make it happen. Wade is running very effectively. And, you know, as you mentioned, Kyle Walljasper is just a battering ram. That play that they run where they'll bring in Zach Olgile and have him run behind Olgile and Brent Lang, that's 5 yards whenever you want it, or more. This is the way we're used to seeing UMD play, is just go out and just run, and move on.
And maybe the formation's a little different than it used to be, that's all.
A little bit, but not much.
Right. And then you throw in Byron Bynum. We always talk so much about Carmichael and what he means to this offense, but Byron Bynum, you know, and this is no disrespect to Carmichael, they're valuable in different ways, right? Like, you know, they can both line up in a lot of different places, but Bynum gives you that extra dimension in the running game, too.
He's good on the edge. You know, they like to get him involved early. They'll run the jet to him early. They'll run the rocket sweep to him early. They'll do something that will get him outside and give that defense something else to think about other than Armani when, you know, when he comes back, and hopefully he'll be back Saturday.
Yeah, we hope. Yeah, we certainly do. And we hope to see Garrett Olsen again Saturday.
We hope to see Garrett Olsen again Saturday too. So then what do? I mean, you got three quarterbacks, all of whom can play and move in a different way. So multiple? Yeah, they're multiple.
Yeah. So Sioux Falls, you know, this. I talked to Chase a little bit about this, too. It strikes me that, you know, they seem to always be physical up front, both sides of the ball, real tough team. Kind of similar in some ways in that regard to Mankato, right, where you know what you're going to get out of Sioux Falls when you play them.
Yes, and they've always had that top-tier running back that has just devastated teams in general in the NSIC. Whether he's a big back or a small back, they've always seemed to have one. And that is something that UMD will have to watch out for as well. They always play well at home. Young Field is a good place for them. They're comfortable there, and they're established. It's going to be a very difficult ball game. And between them and Augustana, who they also play on the road later on this season, they're going to get enough with Sioux Falls, I think, to last them a while.
You know, I look at the layout right now, the way it sits, and it's way too early to make definitive statements. Obviously, you know, you look at the Sioux Falls schedule. They play Augie next week. They've got Winona coming up on the road. They got to play Mankato, who I think, you know, they're they're good enough to beat teams. I don't know if they're the Mankato of old, but they're good enough to beat teams. And this Wayne team's off to a great start. They got to play them too. So you know, it's far from over for either of these teams. We don't know who's going to emerge at the top of this league. We don't know how many teams out of this league that plays an insular schedule are going to get a chance to play in the postseason. But is this close to a must-win this early in the year? You can't really afford to have two losses after four games, right?
You're 2-2. I think it's going to be a problem. Bemidji has already got two losses, and they are, you know, they're not looking all that great at this point. But you're right, Augustana has to play those teams. The you know, their Mankato was not as explosive as they have been, although they did have a great fourth quarter, even though they lost at Northern on Saturday. Mankato is coming down to the rest of the field, I guess you could say. But between Augie, Mankato, USF, all of whom UMD plays, they need to go 2-1 in that group, I think, to be, you know, to be viable. Move on. But the schedule is not kind to them, and that the, all those games are on the road. And so is Bemidji this year. So it's, you know, they're going to find out what they're made of pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, Jeff's got the call Saturday from Sioux Falls, 12:30 for the pregame, and the kickoff at 1 o'clock, Bulldogs and Sioux Falls. Thank you, sir, very much. We'll talk to you on Monday.
See you, mate.
All right, Jeff Papas, voice of Bulldog football, back here on KDAL this weekend against Sioux Falls from Bob Young Field in Sioux Falls. And it, again, tough game. It's a game that, yeah, they I don't say that, I don't want to call it a must win. I don't want to go there in week four, but this is a game that they really have to find a way to get, or at least make it, you know, very, very competitive on Saturday afternoon. And looking forward to hearing that call here on KDAL from Sioux Falls on Saturday. A couple more college football-related notes. Tough news for the Gopher football team, as 60-year senior wide receiver Chris Altman-Bell will miss the rest of the season. He suffered a leg injury in Saturday's win against Colorado, and he will have surgery be done for the campaign. Head coach P.J. Fleck says he'll try to get a seventh year of eligibility for Altman-Bell to come back next year to the Gophers should he choose. And I would imagine that gets rubber stamped by the NCAA, but stranger things have happened with the NCAA in the past. Gophers take on Michigan State Saturday, 2:30 for the kickoff in East Lansing. We'll have that game on FM 98.1. Big Ten opener for the Gophers, and a tough one on the road against a Michigan State team trying to rebound from a blowout loss last weekend non-conference at Washington. Eagles 24, Vikings 7 on Monday Night Football last night. It was the Jalen Hurts show. 333 yards passing, one touchdown, 57 yards rushing, two touchdowns. And the Eagles defensively did just enough. And the Vikings had a couple of drives, a couple of opportunities in the second half, and they both ended in Kirk Cousins interceptions. Cousins threw three picks on the evening and goes to 2-10 on Monday Night Football as a starting quarterback. I don't get it. I don't understand it. He has looked putrid. It's not even that he's losing, because wins are not a QB thing. There's a lot that goes into wins and losses that the quarterback doesn't necessarily have any control over. So wins are not a QB stat any more than they shouldn't be a goalie stat or a pitcher stat either. But you look at how he's played in these games, and it's just been ugly in a lot of them. Last night, 27 of 46, 221, a second quarter touchdown to Irv Smith, and three interceptions, two of which were hideous. One was, it looked like, on Justin Jefferson. The other two were not good, to the point that Troy Aikman basically eviscerated Kirk Cousins on live national television because he was that offended at the decisions Kirk Cousins was making. It was one of those nights for Kirk Cousins. So, I don't know. It's too early to make any definitive statements. I think the Eagles are pretty good. I think that had a lot to do with what happened last night. I don't think the Vikings put their best foot forward last night. That is going to happen every once in a while over a 17-game season. This is still, to me, I predicted before the season the Vikings will make the playoffs. Nothing I saw last night makes me think otherwise. I don't know if they're going to make a lot of noise if they get there, but I still think this is a playoff team. The Packers may have gotten a break as Tampa's top receiver, Mike Evans, suspended for Sunday's game after his involvement this past weekend in an altercation with Saints corner Marshawn Lattimore. So Evans, he says, ESPN says Evans is appealing that suspension, but assuming it holds up, Evans will have to sit out Sunday afternoon's game, Buccaneers and Packers in Tampa at 3:25. That, of course, will be on The Game, AM 710. Coming up, some more Bulldog football talk. We'll hear from the defensive coordinator, the man crafting what appears to be a really good Bulldog defense. Trey Dill joins the radio show after CBS News. It's 1026 on KDAL.
This is the Golden Gopher Daily Update. I'm Mike Grimm. We'll talk Minnesota football after this.
Starting September 4th, the Gophers and Cub team for a two-week campaign called Cub Kindness. This vendor-supported promotion helps to raise dollars for the Gopher Football Coach Flex Row the Boat Fund at Masonic Children's Hospital. Please consider donating at the register during this time, and while at Cub, pick up your favorite General Mills or Dove products. Cub, proud sponsor and the official grocer of Gopher Athletics.
The Gophers received a dose of bad news following Saturday's 49-7 victory over Colorado. Head coach P.J. Fleck confirmed yesterday.
Chris Ottman-Bell suffered a lower leg injury, and he'll have surgery on Wednesday, so that'll end his season. So he's got a season-ending injury. We're going to appeal to the NCAA, apply for a seventh year, and that'll be up to his family and him whether he decides to do that or not. He's a huge member of the football team, will continue to be a huge member of this football team. His leadership is second to none, and we're going to need that from him as we keep going through Big Ten play here. It's unfortunate. Your heart breaks for him because he's worked incredibly hard. But we have a lot of people on this football team, and Chris would tell you the exact same thing. There's a lot of people on this football team here in year six that can make a ton of plays for us. And I think you've seen that in the first three games, the distribution of the football and the ability for a lot of these guys to be playmakers. And, you know, if this happens, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, maybe in a different, you know, he has a different vibe. But again, there's a lot of guys who can make a ton of plays. Chris is a major leader on this team, and he will continue to be a major leader of this team. And I know he's really anxious to get the surgery on Wednesday and start moving towards rehab and getting better.
That's P.J. Fleck, and that's the Golden Gopher Daily Update. I'm Mike Grimm.
The Bruce Siski Show.
You are literally too stupid to insult. Thank you.
On 610 and FM 103.9, KDAO.
10:32, Tuesday morning, sunshine, warm temperatures. Get out and enjoy it. Trust me. I know you probably shouldn't, but trust me. Anyway, coming up, we'll talk some more Bulldog football. UMD's defensive coordinator is Trey Dill. He joins the radio show after a CBS News update on KDAL.
Bruce Siski Show.
You know what? I didn't want to play this card. Certainly not this early. But guess what? Guess who's got the Subaru Impreza? Me. Guess who's got all the money? Me. Guess who's got a winning personality? Me. What do you have? You have a nice hairline. Fine. You have a strong jaw. Fine. But I got to tell you something, mister. Your personality needs some work.
On 610 and FM 103.9, KDAL.
Tomorrow, Bulldog hockey season preview. Men's coach Scott Sandelin, women's coach Maura Kroll. Bulldog women open Saturday at Long Island. Men next Saturday at home against Arizona State. And then Thursday, we are live in St. Paul at NCHC Media Day with three NCHC captains joining us and also our friend Kevin Fallness of the Minnesota Wild Radio Network. Joining us now, defensive coordinator for the UMD football team, Trey Dill. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
You got it. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Just getting ready for University of Sioux Falls here.
Yeah, tough ones coming up on Saturday. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But what was your perspective that last weekend with Upper Iowa? I was talking to Chase Vogel this morning. You said he had to go to the sideline in the second half to call plays because he couldn't see.
Yeah, it was kind of a unique experience trying to kind of find what personnel team they were in and stuff like that. So it was a good atmosphere, but definitely had its challenges there trying to figure out where the ball was and what was actually going on. For example, that one, the fumble that we had in the red zone, I had no idea if we recovered it, what actually happened. I just saw Tim Polkanowski running with the ball down the sideline, and so figured out. It's our ball now, I guess. So
I can't remember. Do you call from the sideline or are you upstairs too?
I'm on the sideline, so it's it was a little bit nicer for me, but it was still tough to. The guys up in the box were struggling to figure out what the personnel was coming on and off the field, and with their white jerseys and teal numbers, it was tough to even tell guys on from the field who was on. So that part definitely was a challenge.
Were you here in 2015 when they had a similar night against Upper Iowa? Were you on the staff then?
I was, and I was talking to their head coach because he was the defensive coordinator that year. I was blaming him for like bringing it on the field here. Every time we seemed to play Upper Iowa at home in those night games, we seemed to get a fog game. So,
yes, that's just weird. Trey Dill, our guest, Bulldog defensive coordinator. How useless was that film when going back to watch it?
It was. If the ball was on the woodland half of the field, it was okay. But yeah, the moment that thing crossed the 50, there wasn't much. There wasn't much teaching going on. So it was a quick Sunday with the guys.
But they probably liked that, though, right?
Yeah. They definitely enjoyed. You know, look quick, go through a couple things from it, but able to put it to bed and kind of shift our focus here to next week.
What do you think of what you've seen from your defense so far through three games?
I think that they're the one thing they've done, they've played really hard. We've asked them to do a lot more, whether it's been some different adjustments coverage-wise, stunt-wise, up front, just playing some different games, maybe more than we've asked them to do in the past, and those guys have handled that stuff well. We've been able to play a lot of bodies. I think on Saturday we played 10 guys up front on the defensive line, played five different guys at inside linebacker, rolling guys in at corner and safety. So there's a lot of guys that are playing hard and showing great effort and earning more and more playing time each week.
That
part's been pleasing.
Yeah, I'm looking at just up front. So I remember talking to Coach Wheezy before the season started, and we were talking about not a ton of big time game experience for a lot of these guys in your system and the way you guys play, but they've been in the program for a while, so they do tend to know what's expected of them. Mm-hmm. What were you thinking about your defensive front, which is such an important part of what you guys do?
Yeah, we had a lot of guys that were coming off of a lot of guys that had redshirted in the 2019 season, didn't play in 20, and then really based on kind of the level of talent last fall that still didn't get a chance to play much. So we had a lot of guys that had been in the program for maybe 3 years, but hadn't seen a lot of game reps, and those guys have really taken to they've bought their time, they've bought in, they've been committed, and now they go out there and they really just play hard, and they get off blocks and they go make tackles, and that part's been really good. I mean, I've been really impressed. I mean, I would kind of agree with Coach Wheezy. Didn't really know what we had there. We had seen some stuff in spring ball and had some ideas just through guys' summer workouts that we were going to be okay. And then now you get them on the field and see them actually in live reps, and I think they've probably surprised me a little bit just in our production, but been pleased to see that.
Southwest gashed you guys a little bit in the run game in an opening game, but the last two games, if my math is correct, which is questionable most of the time, you're at 115 yards rushing allowed in two games at under 2 yards per carry. You can't really ask for a whole lot more than that out of a run defense, can you?
No. I think our guys have really, after the Southwest game, I think we kind of made it more of an emphasis. I think we didn't fit the run very good in that game, and we're a little bit out of position. And I think this stressed it with the guys on that following Friday after the Southwest game, and they've bought in. We've been much better. Just, hey, this is where you fit. This is where your unblocked player is going to be. Get him to the ball first, then we got to get off blocks and make tackles. And guys have bought into that, and it's been good to see.
Coach Wheezy, when we talked to him after the Southwest game, he referenced, and coaches don't like to make excuses. You all know that. I don't have to remind you, but I do like to make excuses. And he referenced the fact that you just don't get to do a lot of live tackling in fall camp, and part of that is the rules, and part of that is just common sense that you're not going to be putting you guys through a lot of that because that's not where you don't need to see guys getting injured in fall camp. So how much of what you've seen the last 2 weeks is simply simply a matter of you're getting these game reps and guys are getting sharper when it comes to the fundamentals of tackling because they haven't done a whole lot.
Yeah, I think we saw the same thing a year ago, too, when we had the kind of big layoff with COVID and the lack of practice and live work, and then where we didn't tackle very good at the beginning of the season and got more guys experience. I think that's probably the one negative of having guys up front that hadn't played a lot going into that game. And we've kind of progressed, and we've kind of made an emphasis in practice and done some stuff working fundamentals on, you know, being able to, some guys still want to throw shoulders in there and not 100% wrap up. So just kind of over coaching that stuff. And, but I agree. It's just, it's playing the full, getting the full speed work. You got guys that are coming off either redshirt years or haven't played since high school, and they get out there and it's a much faster game. And now that we got guys that are getting more used to the game time, game speed, I think it's easier to finish and fit on running backs.
Talking to UMD football defensive coordinator Trey Dill, how's the pass rush coming along here? As you again, guys, you got a lot of newer guys getting more experience.
Yeah, it's been that was a luxury that we had, that we're gonna have to figure something out. We knew that going into this year. We've tried to do some different things with some personnel packages, and Drew Hennessy's done a really good job for us getting pressure and finishing on the quarterback. I think he's got three sacks right now, three or four sacks, and he's done a good job there. We've been able to kind of just, our goal's been probably more rather than individual talent with our upfront guys, just make sure we got fresh guys that can run and can get off this football. And we've used Max Strand has been a guy that's been kind of all over the place playing on line scrimmage, playing back at his inside linebacker spot too as well, and trying to use him in the rush. And I wasn't sure if we were going to be a pressure team or a four-man rush team, and fortunately so far this year we haven't had to bring a ton of extra rushers and been able to sit back and play coverage, which I think anytime you can sit back and play coverage and get pressure with four, you're going to be in a lot better world than overloading and trying to play man and play some less guy or be able to bring five or six. You give yourself holes in the back end, and been able to try to help that secondary out by just, you know, keep us rushing four as much as we can.
Tell me about the impact that Rayshon Brunfield's been making so far in your defense as one of the corners.
I think just having Rayshon was a really nice addition to our team, to be able to bring a guy in that had played college football and played in a program that had been successful too as well, regardless of the level. But to get Rayshon in here, to get somebody in that secondary that provided a little bit more experience, he's been able to help kind of bring along with Davia, bring along some of our younger corners to get those guys what it kind of just how to operate as a college football player. And I think it's been good to have more veteran leadership, and it's nice to be able to have seniors and juniors in that back end, and then you've got those freshmen that are coming behind them that you're not asking them to go play 50 snaps a game as freshmen that don't know, it's all new. And so I think that balance right now in our secondary, and Ray's really been one of the focal points in there.
Talking to UMD football defensive coordinator Trey Dill, 2-1 Bulldogs head to Sioux Falls Saturday. Tell me about the challenges you face with the Sioux Falls offense, which seems to always run the ball really well.
Yeah, they don't really care about what the situation. They're going to run it, and they're gonna grit their teeth. And I think they play as hard as anybody we've seen on film so far. I think they got three really good running backs. They got an O-line that they got different jersey now. I mean, they got a lot of, they can play more than five guys up front. They're rotating some guys in there. Got good tight ends. They're a physical football team, and we've got to kind of grit our teeth back, and you know, understand it's going to be a bloody your nose type of football game. They're gonna come at us. I think their quarterback does a good enough job throwing the football that they keep you honest. You just can't load the box, and they'll throw it over the top, and they got enough skill on the perimeter to beat you there too. So it's definitely a challenge, but I think our guys have been super focused. All year they've been super focused. We've got a great senior group of leaders and guys that'll, I think they're going to guide the ship in the right way. Our prep, knock on wood, has been really good here the last couple Tuesdays. So looking forward to getting on the practice field today with them.
Got about a minute to go here with Trey Dill. Is this, from a physicality standpoint, is this kind of a similar matchup to when you play Mankato?
Yeah, I think it definitely is. It's a similar style. I think the one thing they do is probably maybe even a little bit different than Mankato is they're flying off the football vertical. Mankato's can be sometimes more of a lateral cutback team, but these guys are gonna come after you. The quarterback isn't as much of a true run threat as Mankato's tend to be, but they're backs and they just keep rolling guys in there. So it'll be, you know, when you play those high end run teams, Winona's and Augustana's and Bemidji's and some of those teams that traditionally have run the football. It's that type of a game. It's a game where, you know, you gotta make some plays. You gotta get off blocks, and sometimes the tougher team's gonna find a way to get a W in the end.
You guys take good care of Jeff on the defensive bus on the way down there. All right, and go get a win Saturday.
We will. Thank you, Bruce. I appreciate
it.
Good night.
You got it. To have a good one. Good luck, Trey Dill, defensive coordinator for the UMD football team. Jeff's got the call from Sioux Falls on Saturday afternoon, 12:30 for the pregame. Kickoff is set for 1 o'clock, UMD versus the University of Sioux Falls. Bulldog football back Saturday here on KDAL. 10:51, wrap it up in a moment. Bruce Siski Show on KDAL.
Your Twin Ports home for Gopher basketball.
It's good. He knocked it down.
KDAL.
We are busy the next few days. Tomorrow, we chat Bulldog hockey with men's head coach Scott Sandlin, women's head coach Maura Kroll, as the women open up at Long Island Saturday and Sunday. Thursday, we are live at Xcel Energy Center for NCHC Media Day. Bulldog captain Tanner Latterroot, North Dakota captain Mark Sendin, Denver captain Justin Lee among our guests. We'll also be taping with all the NCHC coaches. You'll hear those over the next 10 days or so. Brad Bennett, sound off is next. Have a great day.
This has been the Bruce Siski Show. Hit us up on Twitter at Bruce Siski Show and let us know what you think.
No, yes, no, well, no, I crossed my mind.
Visit KDAL610.com to podcast today's show anytime.
What'd you say?
Listen to shows on demand and download for free. You can also subscribe via Spotify or your favorite podcast app. This has been the Bruce Siski Show. CBS News is up next. For more than 80 years, KDAL 103.9, W28 FBFM, and 610 KDAL Duluth Superior, a Midwest communication station. KDAL.